Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Basra Daf Mem Beis. We are holding on Mem Aleph on the days, five lines off the bottom of the Amud. Shloisha Lekuchos. Says the Gemara, sometimes the three-year chazaka can be accomplished by more than one person. We can combine three people who had 1 year chazaka each, combine them into sort of one unit to generate a chazaka. Shloisha lekucha is mitzdarfen. So this was the story. Reuben was the known, owner of this property. He was the marakama. Comes along Shimon and claims to have purchased it from Reuben, but he held on to it for just 1 year. Then he sold it to Levi for a year, and then Levi sold it to Yehuda, who sat on the property for another year. So we have a year from Shimon, a year from Levi, a year that Yehuda did, a total of 3 years. Reuben comes along and challenges Yehuda on the property. What are you doing here? It's mine. Yehuda says, what are you talking about? I purchased it from Levi, who purchased it from Shimon. We all have a shtar to prove that we purchased it, and Shimon told us that he purchased it from you. Now, he has no shtar to prove that purchase, otherwise show would be over, right? So Yehuda says, look, we have already done a chazaka. Now, although I personally was only here for 1 year, but you build my year on top of the previous year, on top of the previous year, Shimon's year, plus Levi's year, plus Yehuda's year, you get 3 years. You should have complained, Mr. Reuben. You saw that we occupied your property for 3 years. So we don't look at it like three times 1 year. Rather, we sort of combine it. It's one time three. It's a unit. It's a chazaka unit. Because it's based on the same concept of mecha versus chazaka. When you see a person, or in this case, three people, in your property for a duration of 3 years, you should have protested, you should have challenged, you should have complained, you should have made a mecha. Amar Rav, v'kulam b'shtar, provided that Levi and Yehuda both have a shtar that they purchased it from each other. And something which is formally recorded and documented in a formal shtar document, the Rashbam says, lots of people come and they watch. It's a whole to-do, a whole scene. It makes waves, it makes news. So Mr. Reuben, you would have known. You knew that. You were aware of the fact that this property was being handed over from Shimon to Levi to Yehuda. It's not like, it's not like Reuben can say, look, oh, well, I only saw you there 1 year. And you? 1 year. You? Only 1 year. Apparently, you weren't really trying to substantiate your ownership. You were just, cutting and running, quickly grabbing and going. It's not your standard, a form of occupation, of residence, Rashbam says. He can say, it's not the way people, possess their properties. They don't just cut and run. But in this case, he can't say that. Because it's clear that there was an arrangement here. It was a combined arrangement. Meaning, Shimon was there 1 year, because then he sold it. And then Levi sold it to Yehuda. That's perfectly fine, perfectly acceptable. Nobody's running. Nobody's fearful of Yehuda. They were all proper residents, proper occupiers. They just flipped it on. They sold it further down the road. And you have a total of 3 years of chazaka against you, Mr. Reuben. But this is only if there was a shtar to indicate that, in fact, the field was sold on and on and on. Lemeimra, the Sava Rav, apparently Rav holds, shtar is leikol. Yeah. A transaction executed with a shtar. That makes wave. That's news. But the Adam less lehukala. But if, however, the transaction would not have been done with a shtar, only through Adam. Shimon sold a field in front of two witnesses to Levi, and Levi to Yehuda likewise. So there's no shtar. In this case, Reuben could say, look, I had no clue that you people sold it to each other. All I saw was one person, and then another person, then next year another person, so I didn't take it too seriously. I didn't give it too much weight. So Ishtar makes it evident, makes it clear, publicizes the event, publicizes the form of the arrangement, which should have triggered a mecha, but not simply Edim. Asks the Gemara, really? Edim do not have the same effect as Ishtar. Omar Rav, Rav himself tells us, HaMoicher, Sada be'edim. Let's shift to an ordinary, a standard sale. Let's leave Chazaka for the moment. Reuven sold his field to Shimon be'edim, without Ishtar, just in front of Edim. And he promised Shimon, look, I'm going to warranty the sale. If anybody should come and trouble you, for instance, my bank, which might come, repossess that property on account of a loan that I'll refund you. And then Reuven sold another one of his properties to another fellow. So that sale took place after the sale to Reuven. Now, typically, if there's any lien, any claim that the first buyer has, he has a right to extricate, and there's no, let's say he can't find, there's nothing available in the hands of the seller, he has a right to extricate properties from the next buyer. Because the next buyer basically purchased property which was already committed to the seller's commitment to Reuven, right? So HaMoicher said to Edim, if Reuven sold his property with Edim to a fellow named Shimon, and then Reuven runs into trouble because, first of all, he sold his next property to another person, okay? And then he ran short, he defaulted on his loan to the bank, and the bank repossessed Reuven's, Shimon's field. Shimon has the right to be goyvim and nechasim mishabadim. He can go ahead and take properties which Reuven sold after that sale to another person, because that property is mishubad, it's bound, it's committed to the initial warranty. Now, how can he do that? How can you blame the next buyer? He had no clue that there was this transaction between Reuven and Shimon that preceded him. It was done with Edom. It was done in a very non-public manner. How would he know that there was a commitment that preceded his purchase? If, in fact, Edom do not make a koil, Edom don't generate sufficient publicity. Says the Gemara, you know, you're right. They don't generate immense publicity, but they do trigger somewhat of a koil. And if you really work hard enough, make enough effort, make enough investigation and homework, you can uncover the facts. Hasam, in that case, lekuchos inu, the buyers who came after that first deal, inu afsidu anafshayu, they caused their own loss. It's self-inflicted. Why? Explains the Rashbam. True, Reuven's initial sale to Shimon was only with Edim. It wasn't great news. But ultimately, if you do due diligence, you can find out. You can discover those facts. So before you put your money on Reuven's next property, go find out if in fact those properties are leaned, are committed to another deal. As opposed to our story with Chazaka. Let's go back to our story. Why would an owner, why would he have to suspect that these people who are seemingly playing games, just flipping property over from one to the other, each one only there for a short time, why would he think that they had this sort of deal and they purchased it? If there's no shtar, there's no koil. And for him to go think, he's not thinking. He's thinking the other way around. He's thinking these people are cutting corners. They're not really serious. They're not really asserting ownership. It's the least of my worries. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Umi Amar Rav Hachi. So we've concluded that even according to Rav, when you have an Edom situation, it generates a minimal amount of koil, which is really enough to hold any future buyers accountable, because they should be doing their homework. Really? Umi Amar Rav Hachi, is that so that Rav maintains this position? Tanan, we have a Mishnah which seems to say otherwise. Any transaction executed in the presence of Edom without Ishtar doesn't really generate publicity. Hamavas chaveri b'shtar. If one lends money with a shtar and he defaults, goyvim and chasim and shubadim, the lender can now seize properties which the borrower sold post-deal, because those people should have not taken that risk. They should have been careful before they purchased property from this borrower. But if the loan was only by Edim, it was not a shtar documented loan, it was through Edim, So the bank has no right to seize properties from buyers, from subsequent buyers. They can only take if there are properties available in the hands of the loiver. Why? Apparently, because if the transaction took place with Edom only, there's no koil, there isn't sufficient koil to hold the future buyers accountable for being irresponsible and buying properties which have been committed. So there you go. It's a kasha on Rav who says that lekuchos are meant to do research before they purchase properties. V'chidemer perhaps will say, Rav, Tanahu upalag. Rav, as we know, lived at the very end of the Tanoim, the beginning of the Amoraim era. So his stature allows him to disagree with a Mishnah. So perhaps he disagrees with the Mishnah that we have just quoted. He holds that even when it's through Edom, it has the same power, Ashtar. Really? But Rav himself, as we're going to see in a minute, indicated otherwise. He said exactly as per the Mishnah. They both said, Milval Peh, if it's a loan which was not documented in Ashtar, you can't collect on that loan from heirs, from Yershim, Rashbam explains, because the commitment generated by a loan is not min ha-Torah, so you can't go to the Yershim. Okay, it's a side point, but what pertains to us is the next point. You can't go to buyers, people who purchased properties from this loive, because how should they know about the loan which was done privately in front of Edom? And this is Rav speaking. So in conclusion, we have a stira, we seem to have a contradiction. A milva, which is done in the presence of Edom, without a shtar, what happens? Can you take from the lekuchos who purchased properties post-transaction, after this loan took place? So when it comes to a person who sold his property with achrayus, and he's committed to that sale, he's warrantying that sale, and something goes wrong, we say, yeah, that fellow has a right to collect from properties that had been sold after his, because those properties are meshubet to his deal. And now we learn, in a similar case where a person borrows money and he defaults, since it took place with Edom only, the lender only has recourse from available assets. He can't go to lekuchos who purchased properties after the execution of that loan, because it wasn't a publicly executed transaction. Says the Gemara, hold it. You're comparing a loan to a sale? Milva azvini karamis. How could you compare? How could you ask from the halacha of the loan to the halacha of the seller? Milva, when it comes to a loan, kika yazif bitzinaka yazif, people typically borrow quietly, discreetly. You know why? Ki hechi delalitazlu nechas yaleh. He doesn't want his properties to cheapen. One day, if he'll need some funds, and he'll be selling off his property, people might take advantage of his desperate situation. He doesn't want that to happen. He wants to get fair value for his assets. So he does it quietly. So now you can't blame people for not knowing about it. And the lekuchos are not responsible. But zvini, when it comes to a sale, like in the first case, of a moicher sadeh be'edim, oh, it's a totally different story. Ki man de zoven ara, a person who sells his property, he does it publicly. He does major advertising. He wants to do it, best deal in the world. He wants to give it to the highest bidder. He wants crowds to flock to his sale. So people know about it. And he can fetch the highest price. Okay, so conclusion. A transaction which takes place b'shtar, with a shtar, generates the highest level of koil. There's no question about it. That pertains to chazakot, that pertains to a loan, pertains to a sale. But if it's only through Edom, so when it comes to lekuchos, future buyers, yeah, they should have investigated. They should have discovered that, in fact, this transaction took place. But that only works when it comes to a person who sold this property with a warranty commitment, because a sale of this sort is done publicly. But if the yeshiva on the nechasim resulted from a loan, in that case, we say there's no way that the lekuchos should find out about it. They're not responsible. Likewise, in the case of a three-person chazaka, the owner is not suspecting that they sold it to each other, and therefore he's not expected to protest, and therefore it's not a chazaka. Okay, let's continue. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa. Achlo. So instead of three buyers combining to 3 years of chazaka, we have a father and a son. Achlo ha'avshana. The father occupied this property for a year, and the son took it over after the father had passed away, and he sat on it for 2 years, for a total of 3 years for chazak, or the other way around, the father 2 years, the son 1 year, or a buyer, a father, a son, and a buyer, the father was there for a year before his passing, claiming that he purchased it from, you know, Reuven, right? And the father passed away, his son took it over for a year, and then he turned around and sold it to another person who was there for a year. So now this property had been occupied by these people for 3 years total. Harizu chazaka makes a chazaka. The owner, the fellow purporting to be the real owner, who's challenging these people, should have complained, should have made a macha, because these three people join together and combine as one entity. Lemimra de lekech is leikala. Here comes the question: do you mean to say that the owner, who's purporting to be the owner, the former owner, is expected to protest because he should have known that the third person in the property, the lekeach, the purchaser, purchased it from the son, took it from the father. So it's all one continuous entity. He should have realized that, and that should have triggered a protest. Really? For Ramini, we're going to have a kasha from a brisa where it seems that a lekeach, and by the way, the Rashbam says lekeach here is with a shtar, it's a properly documented purchase. It makes a koil. For a minute, here comes a kasha. Another price. Achla b'fnei ha'avshana. So we have a fellow in occupying a property for 3 years, claiming to have purchased it from the father. And he was present in the property for a year during the father's lifetime. And then the father passed away. And the son was the Yerush. And this fellow here continued staying in this property during the son's lifetime for 2 years. Achol b'fnei avshana u'b'fnei ben shtayim. On the reverse, b'fnei avshtayim u'b'fnei ben shana. 2 years during the father's lifetime and 1 year in front of the son. Or father, son, and a person who purchased it from the son. Even though this fellow is in the property, not the son, but he purchased the rights to this field from the son. Ha'avshana b'fnei avshana u'b'fnei ben shana u'b'fnei lekeach shana. So again, what happens like this. We have Mr. Yehuda in the field, claiming ownership. He was there 3 years. Which 3 years? Well, I was here for 1 year, during Reuven's lifetime, the fellow who sold it to me. After he passed away, I was there another year, during Shimon's lifetime, the son. Now, Shimon actually turned around and sold it to Levi. And Yehuda all along was in the property, a year during Levi's lifetime, right in front of Levi. So, it's a total of 3 years. Harizu chazaka. It amounts to a chazak, despite the fact that we have sort of three separate purported owners who the chazaka was basically done against them, right? Doesn't matter. The fact is Yehuda was here 3 years continuously. Hold it, 1 second. What happened again? Shimon, the son, sold the property to Levi? I mean, that's the biggest protest possible. The whole chazaka is based on lack of protest. I mean, if the purported owner sold it, what's he saying? In effect, he's saying, it doesn't belong to you, Mr. Yehuda. I'm selling. It's mine to sell. You tell me that a purchase of this type generates publicity. So how could Yehuda claim that there was no protest? He was here unchallenged. He just, you know, carelessly got rid of the shtar because things were quiet. What do you mean things were quiet? You should have sensed lots of trouble brewing. The purported owner was selling this property. Do you have a protest greater than this? I mean, this is like the ultimate. I'm not Papa. You're right. It all depends how it was sold. If, in fact, Levi sold this specific property Shimon sold this particular property to Levi, then you know he's protesting. He's opposing Yehuda's ownership. But that's not what happened. Kitanya, that price is speaking. He just sold all his properties. Father passed away, left behind an estate as big as, you know. Shimon just said, you know what, I'm not a real estate guy, I'm going to sell it all off to Levi. Levi assumed this property was included, but in reality, not necessarily was included because Yehuda claims ownership. So that's not considered a mecha. Why would Yehuda think that Levi sold this property, which Yehuda himself already bought from the father, from Reuben? So in this case, it does not amount to a mecha. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'umnen, craftsmen. So, you know, you have a mechanic, you give him the car, he fixes it, gives it back to you. You have a fellow who dyes material, so you give him the material, he dyes it, gives it back. You have a tailor, you give him material, makes you a suit. He can't claim the material, the car, as his. It's well known that he's a craftsman. He's a professional. He's a tradesman. He's working for his clients. Of course he can't claim ownership on the items that he has in his possession. Vashutfen, likewise, partners. Reuben and Shimon partnered in a field. Reuben can't say, well, I'm the full-fledged owner. He can't do that. It's known that this is a shutfis. Varisim, a sharecropper. So he's there a couple of years, and he happened to take all the produce for himself. And now he's claiming ownership. No, you're just a sharecropper. So perhaps you were just paying the owner, reimbursing him for his share. And therefore he allowed you to take everything. But really, you're just a sharecropper, you're not an owner. Vabatropin, a property manager. Elam Chazaka, all these individuals cannot claim ownership through Chazaka. Because it's plainly evident, it's clear why they're here. They were hired there, right? That's their job. So they can't claim the Chazaka generated by 3 years of occupancy. Likewise, if the wife has assets called Nichsei Melog that she brings into the marriage, and the husband is entitled to the produce, the crop, the payrays, and he's eating to his heart's content for many years, he can't claim ownership because it's well known that he's accessing these properties as per the marriage arrangement, right? Likewise, the wife can't claim ownership on her husband's properties because he's meant to feed her, he has to support her. Of course she's taking from the properties. It doesn't denote ownership whatsoever. The father is present on his son's properties. Okay, he's helping him out, give him a hand. It's understood. He's not meant to trigger any protest on the son's account, so of course he lets him be there, and it's not doesn't show anything. Likewise, the son is looking after the father's properties. There's no chazak. Continues the Mishnah. When do we say that a chazakah takes 3 years, and typically it works, except for these cases that we just mentioned? That's only b'machzik. When he's being machzik, when he's occupying it as a raya, he's using the chazak as occupation, his presence as a raya, as a basis for his claim of ownership. That was the topic of discussion up until now in the perek. You see, there are two types of chazakas. Up until now, we spoke about cheskas raya, occupancy, as basis, as a raya, as a proof of ownership. Look, you're missing documentation. Where is it? Oh, I was here many years, unchallenged. I'm not expected to keep my shtar this long. But there's another type of chazaka called cheskas kinyan, which we discussed back in Kiddushin, right? So it's a form of acquisition, instant acquisition. Right? You sell somebody a property, a karka, he does chazaka. He makes a fence, he digs, whatever he does, and that makes it his. It's a totally different type of chazak, same word, but a totally different connotation. Aval benoise matonah, says the Mishnah, but if he's giving him a gift, it's not, there's no dispute, there's no, right? Va'achin shachok, or two brothers who are splitting, an estate. Va'machzik b'nichzi ager. Ager passed away, his properties are now hefker, he's going and he's taking it, acquiring those nechasim. So, in these situations, the chazak itself is accomplishing kinyan. It's making it his. So how do you do that? Noal. What's a chazaka on karka? Cheskas kinyan. Noal, Rashbam says, osodelis. He installed a door to protect the property. That denotes ownership. Vigadar, he made a fence around it. The parts kosher. He just opened the fence. He breached the fence to get in there, to gain access. All these are forms of chazaka. Hariz a chazaka, and it makes it his. Okay, so we had several individuals who don't have cheskas raya, umnen, shutfin, etc. And then we concluded with cheskas kinyan. Kinyan is the Gemara. Avu de Shmuel v'Levi. Shmuel's father was a great chacham on his own. V'Levi and his friend, his chavrusa Levi, Tonu, they had a little bit of a different version of our Mishnah. They omitted the word umnen, because it's obvious that a craftsman doesn't own the items under his care. Right? So they learned a little differently. Tonu shutav ene chazok. Koshkin umnen. They learned, they started from the second fellow, the shutav. And once we know that a shutav, despite the fact that he had some form of kinyan, right? Partial ownership he has. And you would think maybe, okay, he just bought the partner out. No, we don't say that. We don't allow him to claim ownership. Shutav ene chazok. Of course, v'koshkin umnen, of course, umnen has no connection to the item. Of course, it's not his. Shmuel himself, however, tani umnen ene chazok. His girsa was that umnen has no chazoka, but he didn't have the shutav in the Mishnah. You know why? Because in some cases, a shutav does have chazaka. Aval shutav ish la chazaka. Right? And Rashbam says, you know what? If you didn't sell me your part, why did you let me occupy the entire property? Okay, so we'll see in a minute. Sometimes a shutav, who is present, you know, for several years on the entire property, on the entire asset, can actually claim ownership. Shmuel is consistent with his position. The Amar Shmuel told us, Hashutafen Machzikin Zalze, partners can generate chazaka on each other. Umidin Zalze, if there's a need, they can testify for each other. Venasim Shemir Sachar Zalze. And if he's watching for the both of them and something happens, he's responsible, like a Shemir Sachar is always getting paid because today I'm watching for you, tomorrow you're watching for me, so I'm getting, you know, something in exchange for my service. Okay, so that was Shmuel's statement, clearly indicating that a shutav can have, it does have the ability to make chazok. Frag the Gemara. Rami le Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba asked, to whom? The Rabbi Yehuda. Where were they? B'ma'arta, in a cave, or b'ma'atzarta, according to the Bach, in a olive press, in this factory, to be Rav Zakeh, they belong to Rav Zakeh. Okay, so they were standing there waiting for the next run. They seized the opportunity to discuss Torah. He had a question. Mi Omar Shmuel Shutav yesh lechazoka? Is that true that according to Shmuel, Shutav can have chazoka on his partner's portion? Of Omar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel tell us elsewhere, a Shutav, a partner, ki yered b'rishus dami? We treat him as though he had entered a stranger's property, b'rishus, you know, with permission, and he's entitled to get a cut, a commission, from the, you know, work that he did from his crop, as we're going to see soon. So he's treated like an artist, like a sharecropper. Ki yered b'rishus dami. So what does that tell us about his ability to make a chazaka? We know that an aris can make chazaka, because we all know that he's a sharecropper, he's not an owner. Lav, remember, does that mean to say the shutav ain't a chazaka, the shutav cannot make chazaka? How could Shmuel say that a shutav can be machzik? Answers the Gemara, it depends what he's trying to do. Like Kasha, the answer is like this. We have a field which was known to be a field of shutvas. Reuben owned half, Shimon owned half. Couple of years down the road, Reuben is claiming ownership on the entire thing. Hadanachas lekula, hadanachas lepalka. So it depends what he's claiming. Danachas lekula, he's claiming the entire thing. Look, I was here for 4 years, 3 years, occupied the entire property. It's not yours. You sold it to me. Hadanachas lepalka. The other case is speaking where he's only claiming half, the east side, the better side of the property. So in one case, the chazaka works. The other case, it's ineffective. Which way? So we have two versions on that. Okay, hold on tight. Amrila lahagisa, some say it goes one way. Amrila lahagisa, some say it goes the other way. The Rosh Hashanah explains in great detail what these two, you know, approaches are. Let's see it inside. So if you take a look at the Rosh Hashanah, which is on the left side of the Amun, so when the lines get wide, one, two, three, four, fourth wide line. Amrila lahagisa. Some sought to explain as follows, to answer this seeming contradiction, whether or not a shutav has chazaka. Says the Rashbam, Hadam Shmuel shutav yesh lechazaka, denachos lekula. When Shmuel says he does have chazaka, because they took the entire property. That's not typical. That's not standard procedure. The minhag should tell him, typically, how do partners proceed? They split the yield every year. Or they split the property. You take half, I take half. Next year we'll flip it around. The part that you developed last year, I'll take today. Because they all want some bananas every year. Right? They both want part of the crop every year. That's typical. That's standard arrangement. And what happened here? That's not what happened. He was allowed to take over the entire property for 3 years. That's not typical. And this fellow who allowed his partner to develop the entire, to cultivate the entire field for 3 years, that's an indication of ownership. Certainly he sold him his part and he bought him out. And that's why it's called a chazak. Because he took the entire property. That's not typical. Whereas where Shmuel says it doesn't work, we're speaking that Reuven is only claiming half, the east side, the better part. So in this case, he has no right to claim ownership on that part because that's the way they do it. You take 3 years here, I'll take 3 years here, then they'll flip it around. Then they flip it back. For the next 4 years. That's standard shutuv arrangement. That's not ownership. That's one approach. The entire thing, chazak. Part of it, not a chazak. V'armilu l'hagisa, continues Rashbam. Some took the opposite approach. That if he's claiming the entire thing, that's not a chazak. Because sometimes people do that. Look, we alternate. You take the entire thing for a couple of years, I'll take it for a couple of years. Instead of haggling half and half. If you're taking the entire thing, you're claiming the entire thing, it's not a chazak. Because that's also a form of arrangement. You take 3 years, the entire property, I'll take the next 3 years. So you can't claim ownership on the entire thing. But if you're sitting on half the property for many years, that indicates chazak. You know why? The svar hu dechalku, it appears that they in fact divided it this way. Because otherwise, if it's just about me getting part of the crop every year, I didn't want to wait 3 years, right? We want to split it every year. We don't want to do the standard procedure where everybody, you know, we alternate, you get a full year, I get the full year, or you get full 3 years, then I get that. We don't want to do that. We want bananas every year. Okay, let's say. That's what you're claiming, right? So why'd you let him sit on the east side? You should have just worked together and split the property, the profits. You shouldn't have let him sit on the better part of the field himself for many years running. They should work together as a partnership. And split the profits. So let's just summarize. Bottom line is, Mishnah says the Shutav doesn't have Chazak. Shmuel indicates that he does. When? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Depends if he's claiming the entire thing or only a specific part. And there are two ways to learn. Ravina Omar, back to the Gemara. Ravina says, I'll answer the kasha. When does, or when does not, a shutav have chazakah? Both cases are speaking that he's claiming the entire property. The kasha answers like this. If you recall back in the beginning of Baruch Basra, we learned that some properties are deemed to be too small for a division. It's not enough to go around. So if that's the case, if it does not have din chalukah, it's not practical to split it, so we understand that we alternate. You'll get a couple of years, then I'll get a couple of years. So in this case, you have no right to claim ownership. It's part of the standard, it's a standard form of arrangement. Whereas if it's yesh b'din chalukah, it's enough. There's enough there, the size allows for a proper division between the parties. So why am I letting you sit on the entire property? I shouldn't have done that. The fact that you did for many years indicates ownership. Gufa, let's go back to Omar Shmuel. Shutov ki yored b'shus domi. A shutov is considered like a fellow who is invited to cultivate a property. What does that mean? Michael Mashmuel, what's he trying to tell you? Shutov is in the chazok. That a shutov cannot claim ownership. He's looked at as a sharecropper. That's why you're there. You can't just suddenly overtake the property, as we just learned. But if that's all he's saying, he should have just said it like that. Lame, but why doesn't Shmuel simply say, Shutav ein chazak? Why do you have to sort of paint it in this very colorful way? It's like a yurid, b'shus dami. There's something more to it. Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Ravo, you're right on. There is something more. Loimar tells us like this, in terms of his commission, in terms of the amount that he can extract from this property after working on it, Loimar shenoytel, he takes, he has a right to take a percentage b'shvach from the increase, from the profits, from the crop, hamagil ksafayim, even if it's fully grown, ksafayim on the shoulders, like really high, you know, grain, it's just an expression, meaning even completed crops, meaning he can force the partner to wait. Look, I want to get full crop, don't pay me off now, let me wait until it's fully developed, and then you give me b'sada she'ena surilita. And here's another point, even if it's a field which is not meant to be planted with fruit trees, it's a grain field. We treat it as though it's an orchard meant to be cultivated this way, and it gets a full share, like a regular sharecropper, which is a chiddush. Typically we don't do that when you just, you know, cultivate your neighbor's field without permission. But here, partners apparently are okay with each other doing this, and he has a full right to take a full commission. So this is one point. This is on top of the fact that he can't claim ownership, because we understand it's part of the shutfus arrangement, and it's not an indication of ownership. Okay, let's recap today's daf. A transaction which was done with a shtar generates koil. Everybody beware. This pertains to chazaka, right? So we have sort of a chain chazaka, a buyer from a buyer from a buyer. Well, the owner should have realized that was going on, and he should have opposed it. Whereas if it's a milva, if it's an edim that were involved in a shtar, it doesn't generate enough koil to put the owner on notice. Likewise, if there was a milva through Adam, well, milva is done discreetly, there's not enough koil, whereas if it was a sale, a property sale with Adam, that does generate enough koil, and the future buyers should be aware. We learned about a combined chazaka, a father, son, and lekeach, a chazaka that was done in front of a father, son, and lekeach, all these things work. Now we continue with the Mishnah, some exceptions to the chazaka rule. People who are known to be on the property, known to be in possession for whatever reason, they can't just turn around and claim ownership. We learned about the cheskas raya, and then about the cheskas kinyan, and about whether or not a shutef can in fact claim ownership. It depends what, it depends where, as per the various approaches in the Gemara. Okay, all the best to you, and hatzlacha rabbah.